Well, did you bring a Bible today? Did you? This is the most exercise some of you are going to get today. Lift that Bible up. If it's a Bible like Pastor Carl's, it is quite heavy, and it is more than a 5-pound weight. Come on, lift our Bibles. We say this together because we are reminding ourselves that this is no ordinary book. Ready? Let's do it together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. And Lord, you are the one we want to hear from. Use the words that I speak to by the Holy Spirit. Customize this teaching so that it speaks to every heart, every season of life. Thank you that your word brings instruction. It brings understanding. It gives direction, sometimes even correction, but only because you love us and you desire us to walk in the life that you came to give us. So we receive of your ministry, Holy Spirit, as our teacher today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jerry is in the Philippines. He is there celebrating Foursquare in the Philippines. I believe they're celebrating 75 years, but he's also bringing Jesus' disciple to the Philippines. So that is exciting. But I have had to make my own coffee for the last few days. So pray for me that I make it through, okay? As a matter of fact, this morning I didn't even have any until somebody brought me a little Starbucks. It's okay. Anyway, y'all are faking it. There is no compassion in you towards me at all. You're like, you got to be kidding, woman. Get over it. I love Jerry for much more than the great coffee he makes. Let me just say that. And I do miss him, but I'm excited that that the Philippines will get a taste of Jesus' disciple. Well, I do have a word for you from Romans chapter 12. You know, a few weeks ago, I was asked to speak on Romans chapter 12 at a different church. And I've read Romans chapter 12. I've actually prayed Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 over my life for years. So I thought I'll just put a message together, Lord. I wanted to speak to people. But it was interesting how when you're reading the word and you're looking at the word speaks to you. And as I was reading it, it has become something so deep on the inside of me. And it has brought understanding to some of the challenges that we're facing as believers. And so this may be a common scripture to you, but I pray today that you not just know the scripture, but that you're able to see the scripture through the lens of God so that it begins to shift the way you even live. So Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 1, and then I want you to join me in verse 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now join me in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I love the way the New Living Translation says verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And I'm going to read you from one more translation, the J.B. Phillips translation. It says this, I love this translation. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good. It meets his demands and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold you by what? By renewing your mind. So don't be conformed to this world. Paul is saying, I beseech you. How many of you use the word beseech? I beseech you, my child, please do your chores. No, we don't use that word beseech. But that word has actually quite intensity to it. It is an urge. I urge you. It is like the heart of a father pleading with a son or a daughter. I urge you to do what I'm about to tell you. So Paul comes and he's saying, I urge you to present your body a living sacrifice because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And verse 2, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. That word conform, do you know what that word means? It means pattern, yourself after. Don't pattern yourself after the ways of the world that don't have God involved. The way of the world just means those systems, the way of thinking, the way of processing, the way of behaving, the way of doing life by those who have no God, by the world that has no God involved in it. So it's not talking about a particular people. It's just talking about the system of the world that doesn't involve God. Don't be conformed. Don't pattern yourself after what's trending. Don't pattern yourself after what is cool, what is popular, what is accepted in our society. Conform means to think, to speak, and to act like. Do we speak or think or act like the world, those who, or the systems of the world that have no God in it? You know, how many of you have ever been to the Space Needle in Seattle? Well, some of you need to get out of California and go visit. There's some pretty places. Listen, people, they're actually stars. I know we've read about them, but in other states, you can actually see them at night. They are twinkly at night. It's beautiful. Well, in Seattle, Washington, they have the Space Needle. It's a tall tower, and at the very top, there's a restaurant. You sit down, you're looking at a certain scene, which you're looking at the water. And then within just a couple minutes, you look up and you're seeing something completely different because this restaurant revolves. But it revolves so slowly that you can't tell. And isn't that good while you're eating? You don't want the spinning me around and around, right? But it revolves so slowly that you don't recognize you're moving until you look up and you see things differently. That to me is a great picture of conforming. Because we don't mean to conform. If you're following Jesus, you don't wake up and go, you know what? I want to be less like Jesus and more like the world. I want to think like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. I want to act like there is no God in my life. We're believers. We want to follow Jesus. But why would Paul speak to believers and say, don't conform? Because we as believers can conform unintentionally. And it's usually very, very, very slowly, so slowly that we're not even realizing that we're setting our lives and our patterns of behavior and how we live life, how we process, how we think by the ways of the world. Don't be conformed, Paul says. I beseech you, I'm begging you, I'm urging you. Don't change or don't behave, don't think, don't speak, don't act like the world. Instead, but be transformed. Transformed. Do you know what that word transform means? It means to change a thing into a different thing. It means to change into another form. What is Paul saying? He's saying, don't pattern yourself in your way of living by the world, but be transformed. Become like a different person. Become like, who are we to become like? Jesus. When in doubt, just answer Jesus. 99% of the time, it's going to be correct. Jesus, right? Become like him, be transformed into the image of Jesus. Transformation occurs through the renewing of the mind. That's what Paul says. But be transformed, how? By the renewing of the mind. If your mind is not being renewed, you're being conformed. You're either conforming or being transformed. You're either being conformed or being transformed. And he says, the way you're transformed is by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. This renewal is a continual process. Say continual. Don't you wish you just arrived one day and it was like, hi, I am perfect. I'm like Mary Poppins. I am perfect in every way. I don't know why it sounds better when you say it with a British accent. But no, there is no arrival. I am 57. That's so young. To my 102-year-old grandmother, as she would say, right? And I've been a believer my whole life. I've loved Jesus my whole life. I am still being transformed. It is a continual process of aligning my thoughts, my attitudes, my beliefs with God's word. It is a continual process. If you ever think, I got it now, then you've stopped growing. You're starting to be conformed. It is a continual process until the day you go to be with the Lord. You are in this transformation process. And the transformation process comes not by wishing, not by hoping, not by straining every nerve and trying really hard, not by mind over matter, but by the renewing of the mind. We don't want behavior modification in our lives. So much goes after behavior modification, and you have to watch that as parents. We don't just want kids to change their behavior. We want them to change from the inside out. Otherwise, people change, but only on the outward, but the inside remains the same. God's not after behavior modification to where in church we look like church, but outside of church, we live a different life. He wants that transformation to come from the very inside, and it becomes more and more who we are, more and more like Jesus. So as I'm preparing for this message a few weeks ago, I'm like, Lord, have I conformed in any way? Because our society speaks, and it speaks loud. Have you noticed? If you get out of your house, or you turn on TV, or you turn on anything, it is speaking loud. The messages are loud and clear. The world is very intentional at the messages they're bringing, even for the tiniest of people. We must be more watchful now than ever before, right? There are messages that are coming into our ears or going into our heart. We even talk about those things. We begin to align ourselves to those messages. And so I'm asking, Lord, where am I conforming? Where am I just shifting that my thinking is not like you think? That my response is not like you respond? That my attitudes are not like your attitudes? And I find it is a daily aligning, an intentional choice to align with God's word. The mind is the battleground for transformation. Because your spirit, when you are born again, your spirit is brand new. It's alive. It is filled with Jesus. It is good. It's this flesh we have to deal with. But the key is right here. Just point right here. Just go, this is the problem. Come on. Be honest. This is the problem right here. Yes. Your thinking, my thinking, is the battleground. It is the battleground. So God says, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Paul gives us a great clue of how transformation truly happens, not behavior modification. It comes through the renewing of the mind. Well, how do we renew our minds? How do we renew our minds? Well, let's read a couple scriptures. Joshua 1:8. This is God speaking to Moses, to Joshua. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Wait, I thought meditation was you just think about it. But God says, this book of the law, by the way, it's called the book of the law because it was the first five books and that God was giving the laws, okay? It doesn't sound exciting to go read the book of the law. Right? Jerry tells me that when you go to traffic school, they give you all these laws, right? La, 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 la. Well, that's not exciting. But what do we do? That's why it was called, I apologize. That's why those first five books were called the law, because God introduced laws. And in the process of introducing laws, he actually, this was a picture and a demonstration of the fact that we can't be good enough. We need a savior. But think about it as the word of God. This word of God shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Doesn't say on Sunday mornings. Think about what God is saying and say a few things while you're in church. God comes to Joshua and says, Joshua, you're going to take some territory and it's not going to look possible. So here's the key. You need to renew your mind and you need to see things the way I see them so that you can do what I do. So this book of the law doesn't depart from your mouth, but you meditate on it in it day and night. It's not meditate. Will not transform you. It'll just relax you. Okay? No, it's not meditation like what sometimes we see. Meditation, biblical meditation, is pondering by talking to yourself. I call it this way, by preaching to yourself, by declaring what God has said. He said, this is how we meditate the word that brings transformation. We do it day and night. Now you may think, so what are we supposed to do? Quit our jobs, quit our work, and now we just sit and we read the Bible all day and read it and quote it? Well, for 99.9% of us, probably not, right? You still have to feed the children, Jonathan. More than half a cracker. We need to have a little talk after this. No, you still have responsibilities during the day, but do you know that you can meditate the word day and night? Now, anytime you're introducing a new habit, it takes intentionality, doesn't it? You have to Do everything you can to get this habit until it becomes a part of everyday life. So at the beginning, if you're not used to looking at the scriptures, reading the Bible, and then finding those scriptures that God speaks to you and beginning to declare them, then you're going to have to get into this habit. Part of the way I did it in my earlier year was I wrote the scriptures out. And it's not usually like 100 of them. I've usually had one or two that I'm really pondering on. I'm preaching to myself about. I put them in places where I can see it, namely the mirror and the refrigerator, right? Those are the two that you know you will see it at least a few times a day. But that was the way of reminding myself. Sometimes, you know, now with the phones, you can have something remind you, bring up a scripture. But it takes intentionality to get into this habit. But let me tell you, it's not a boring habit. It's not that you sit there and you go, okay, Lord, your word says, no. Mm-mm. It's not that. It's God speaks something to you from his word, and you begin to ponder on it. You begin to think about it. You begin to say it. You begin to declare it. And notice what God said to Joshua. Don't let this book depart from your mouth. Meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So he's giving him the clue. Joshua, get my word out of your mouth. Don't let it depart, but ponder on my word. Talk my word. Preach to yourself my word until you're able to see what to do. Until you're able to see how to respond. Until you're able to see how to speak. Because see, Joshua was going to face giants, wasn't he? Joshua was going to face a lot of stuff. And God was saying, if you let this book of the law depart from your mouth, you will be conformed to the ways of the world, which depend on themselves and have no access to a real God. And in some ways, we're conformed. There are areas in our lives that we may think, it is up to me. You've been conformed. You've been conformed to the system that says you are your own provider. You are your own everything. And God knew, Joshua, if you don't meditate my word day and night, you're not going to be able to do what I asked you to do. But I need you to think the way I think. Isn't that amazing that God gives us the opportunity to think the way he thinks? Because our natural thoughts are not like his thoughts. But he says it to us, your thoughts are not my thoughts. But here, let me give you my thoughts so that you can meditate on what I think, so that you begin to think the way I think. And he says, for then, Joshua, when you know what to do because you've meditated in it and you know, you see what I see, you say what I say, and you do what I do, you're going to make your way prosperous and you're going to have good success. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I don't like to call them formulas because it's not just 1 + 1, but this is real life. This is what we want. I don't want to just be me. I want to be continuously transformed into the image of Jesus. I want to know this year, do I look more like Jesus than I did last year? Or am I just kind of the same? Or am I going backwards in some things? So I evaluate when I read the word. I don't just want to read it. I want to say, Lord, am I doing this? Where have I conformed? Where am I not even aware that I'm thinking in a way that doesn't even involve you? And as you begin to do this intentionally, it becomes a part of your life. Where now I may be in the middle of a situation, and you know what? The word speaks to me. Oh, it's beautiful. On Thursday, it was the day that I was going to take Jerry to LAX, my favorite airport, where you have to have the grace of God, right? Even at 11 o'clock at night or whatever. That day, I was taking care of some errands or doing something in the afternoon. All of a sudden, I feel this gripping fear come over me, like the paralyzing kind. You know where fear knocks and it's like, ooh, that may, no. It was like this dark fear that wanted me to just go into my home and close all the windows and not talk to anybody forever. And there was no situation happening that would make me feel like that. It's like, where is this coming from? And it took me a little bit because I started feeling this gripping, like, and then I realized it's like the word that I have meditated for years came back to me. And I heard it on the inside. For God has not given to you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I recognized right at that moment, oh, it's a spirit I'm dealing with. And it's not a spirit from God because God doesn't send us spirits of fear. So I recognize, oh, this is the enemy. Jerry's leaving, and wouldn't you like to cripple me? Absolutely not. And so what happens? I am in the car, and I am saying, Lord, thank you. You have not given to me a spirit of fear, but you have given to me power, love, and a sound mind. Thank you that you are with me, and you are with me. I have nothing to fear. I will fear no. You know what I'm doing? I am preaching to myself in the car. And nowadays, people just think you're on the phone, so they don't think you're crazy. But what am I doing? I am meditating. I am pondering on what God has said by declaring it. I'm not just thinking, because you will never win the battle of the mind with the mind. You win the battle of the mind with your mouth. And boy, I began to declare those things. And the more I declared, the stronger I became. And the more I began to see that spirit for what it was, and the fact that I have nothing to fear. God is with me. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. And if you are for me, who can stand against me? And all these things, just you begin to boom, boom, boom. And the Colombian Santander side comes out. It's got the little Latin feistiness with it, right? Well, let me tell you, that thing began to subside significantly. And I didn't want to let Jerry know on the way out, hey, I'm like dealing with this stuff. I didn't want to say anything to him. If I needed to, I would have, and he would have responded. I just didn't want that weight on him as he leaves. But it was already so much better by the time I took him to the airport. But on the way back, I could still feel the little threads of it. And so what did I do? Meditated the word by pondering it, by speaking it. So, Lord, thank you that your angels protect Jerry, Zach, all the works that he does, that airplane, our children. We pray protection over you. I constantly pray protection over you, your properties, and your possessions. And I began to, what is it? It's meditating by speaking. It is declaring. And you know, a thought came to me, yeah, but when you get home and it's all dark and it's just you, and I was like, no, you are with me. Amen. And I went in my garage, I opened the door, and you know what? There was joy, not because Jerry was gone. I miss him. But there was this sense of joy and freedom. Like that thing just lifted. What if I had not been meditating on that? God has not given to me a spirit of fear. Do you know why years ago I meditated on that? Because I was dealing with a spirit of fear over one of my children. And I had to address it. And when you meditate on the word and it becomes alive in you, then when you're in situations that you need it, the word speaks to you and then you speak it out. Transform from the inside out. It wasn't me, I will not be afraid, I will not be afraid, I will not be afraid. It is from the inside out to where you recognize, oh, that fear is gone. That fear is gone. Meditating, you ponder by talking to yourself, by preaching to yourself. I love Psalm 1, verses 1 and 3. It says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners. By the way, counsel of the ungodly comes in comedies. Counsel of the ungodly comes in music. That's all I'm going to say. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. There's a contradiction. The person that's not listening to all that counsel, wherever it comes from, but his delight is in the word of God. In this word, he meditates day and night. There's something about day and night, isn't there? It's not once a week. It's not, if you're real spiritual, it's Sundays and Wednesdays. No, it's a day and night. What does that leave out? Day and night. I think that's a full day. And again, it's not that you stop living life, but in the middle of your cubicle, as certain thoughts are coming to mind, you just begin to declare what God has said. You begin to, and you don't have to do it loud. You can just whisper it. Do you know why God instituted us speaking? Because James says that the body follows the tongue. And it compares the tongue to the rudder of a ship. Have you ever looked at those cruise ships? You don't ever go, wow, what a rudder. No, you can't even see the rudder. It's a small little hidden thing, but it directs the entire direction of the ship. And James says, that's how our mouth is. Life and death truly are in the power of the tongue. And so God instituted, declare my word so that transformation comes from the inside out. Some of you feel so stuck and you're trying everything else, but you need transformation from the inside out. And the only way it comes is by renewing your mind through the word of God. And I wish I could tell you, it's just do it for 2 weeks and you're all set. It is a continual renewing your mind to the word, but it's exciting. It's not this, oh, let me read another scripture. Let me say it 5 times today. Did you even understand what I just said? And I don't know why I did that accent. Anyway, no, it is. Because you sense the transformation, it becomes life. See, I've shared this before, but up until the time I was 32, I was a perfectionist people pleaser. Never felt like I pleased God. And I was already a pastor, just so you know, for 12 years. But when I laid my head on the pillow, always felt like a failure. And people pleasing, that's absolutely exhausting. And it wasn't until God told me, meditate my word, get my word in your ears and get it out of your mouth, about certain scriptures, about how I see you. And I did that. And let me tell you, it took months. And sometimes I felt worse. But I stayed with doing it because I knew God was trying to bring freedom to me. And that July day, freedom came. But it was through a process of hard declaring the word when I didn't feel like it. I felt the very opposite of it. But on that July day, oh my goodness, we had interns living with us. And I was like, God loves me. The Father loves me. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're my pastor. That's so scary that you just found out God loves you, right? I understand. But it wasn't head knowledge. It was like, I am so loved by my Father. And He created me. I'm His workmanship. I'm like, do you need me to be president of the United States of America, sir? It was this confidence that rose up, not in myself, but in who I was in Christ. And the fact that I was His workmanship. He created me intentionally. I was beautifully and magnificently designed because I didn't design myself. He designed me. It was freedom. And then God began to open doors for me that were wild doors that I could have never walked through because those places of leadership, the opposition and the stuff that went with it would have completely knocked me out if I didn't have revelation of who I was in Christ. But it came through meditating the word. 32 years of feeling like a failure. And here through the process of renewing my mind to what God said until the day I saw what He saw. He called me good. I said, that's good. That's good. And when I made mistakes or where I sinned, it was no longer of, see, I could never do it right. It was, oh, God, thank you. You knew I would sin, therefore you sent Jesus so that I could confess my sins and repent and I could receive complete forgiveness. Now, it wasn't this condemnation of, oh, I keep failing. It was, thank you for my Savior. You knew I needed you. You knew I wouldn't be perfect. And that did not keep you away from me. You said, yeah, you're going to, you will. So I have Jesus. Amen. I'm giving you Jesus so you can receive forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness. See, this meditating the word is not just so that you stay away from sin. It's so that you live through the mindset of Christ. Amen. You think, you speak, you process, you make decisions based on the ways of the kingdom. And Psalm 1 says, that person that meditates His word day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Hey, that's like Joshua 1:8. He ponders and speaks the word day and night until he sees it. And whatever then he does, he prospers. Why? Because he's seen it accurately. He's speaking accurately. He's aligned to God's will. He's aligned to the ways of the kingdom. And the ways of the kingdom always work. God is inviting us to transformation, not so that he can love you more. It's like, get yourself together so I love you more. He cannot love you more than he loves you today. Amen. This is so that we can live the life that Jesus came to give us. God's instruction is not so that he loves us more. You are loved by the Father. Before you even knew Jesus, you were already so deeply loved by the Father that he gave Jesus for you. But these instructions are so that we can live the life that he's called us to live, the abundant life that Jesus came to give. So transformation from the inside out. I want to give you a couple of examples, because these are some of the things that I'm seeing even in the body of Christ. These are things that I hold myself to, but I want to give you an example, and you don't need to raise your hand, but you can let, as I read you some scriptures, you can go, oh boy, I've been conformed or I've been transformed. I love the honesty of a lady in last night's service. After I read the scripture, she's like, ooh, I'm out. She's like, oh, I've been conformed. I haven't been transformed. You don't have to be that honest. You just keep it to yourself. You just keep looking like, that's not me. That's not me at all. But I want to read to you Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Because let me tell you the kingdom. This is how God thinks. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. That's when she said, I'm out. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Is that our response? And again, some of you are like, you looked at me. No, I'm going to keep my eyes closed so I can preach it. I'm not looking at you because I don't think you do this. But those are questions I ask myself. In my response to people, am I being conformed to the ways of the world, which is get upset, get angry, become or not forgive, become bitter, talk bad? Do I allow corrupt words to proceed out of my mouth? You know who this verse is the hardest to do with? La familia, your family, right? It is easier for me to be nice to you than to Jerry. It is. Absolutely, because what? We don't live together. I've lived with that man since we've been married for almost 37 years. It's easier for me to let these things move away because of how familiar I am with him. And yet the word says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. That means to your spouse. Oh, thank you that one of you thinks that's good. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Well, what about people that are doing wrong things? What about people that are mean to you? What about people that persecute you? The Bible says, bless them. What about your enemies? He said, do good to them. What about people that try to get you upset so they can record you, so they can talk to you or say that you did certain things wrong? How about people that intentionally try to incite you? See, as believers, don't fall for the tricks. Doesn't matter where it's coming from. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Even with what you think is the worst of the worst. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Even when you're dealing with difficult people. How about when there's blatant sin right in front of you? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Don't get entangled in clamor and malice and anger and bitterness and frustration. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification. Does what we say impart grace to the hearers? Does it empower people to walk with Jesus? Because these are the things, the world doesn't do that. The message of the world is, whatever's on your mind, say it. Proverbs calls that foolish. He says, the fool vents all his feelings. The world says, that's power. There's a world way of doing things and there's a kingdom way. Let no corrupt word. Be kind, verse 32, be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. When I was first married, I meditated, and Proverbs 31 was a powerful passage that taught me so much about being a wife. I think it's such a powerful, empowering passage to women. But one of the verses, it said, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. That I meditated on day and night, because I am naturally, I am nice. But God's not looking for nice. He was looking for a woman who would, with her husband and with her children and with people, when she opened her mouth, it was with wisdom. And what guided my tongue was kindness, that I could speak to my husband with kindness even when we're disagreeing, or I could speak to my children in kindness even when I was correcting. I've had to apologize to Jerry many times through the last 37 years. I've had to apologize to my children. Listen, I've driven up. This was years ago. They were little, and my two kids were arguing in the back of the car like nobody's business. And I am coming. I'm late, and I'm supposed to do ministry time, right? Y'all think that we just wake up and angels are singing on Sunday morning? And I'm like, oh, Lord, just carry me right into your presence, into church. No, I had these little kids that were misbehaving, arguing. I'm supposed to already be here. I'm late. So I turned around and I said, cut it out. Talk nice or stop talking. Wah, rah, rah, rah. Pull up to church. Walked right up here. Lord bless you. And as I'm walking down this very aisle, I'm like, oh, Lord, I need your help for the sake of the people. Give me something to give to them because right now I'm ticked. Oh, sorry, you didn't know we were that human, did you? Oh, yeah, real life. So you know what I had to go back and do? Hey, children, I broke the law of kindness in my tongue. I can correct you, but it can still be kind. I've had to apologize to many people throughout my life because my tongue sometimes is not kind. But when you meditate in it, it becomes how you function. And when you get out of alignment, it speaks to you. And it says, that wasn't kind. Isn't that beautiful how the word works? But this is in a day where the message is be bold, be loud, be rude, be self-centered, speak your mind, be angry, you demand. God says that's the way of the world. Don't be conformed. Be transformed and be this way. Let the words that you speak be words of edification because everybody needs the grace of God. I want to give you one more as we close. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. I'm seeing such a lack of the appropriate way of dealing with conflict in relationships. I appreciate the fact that God does not say when there's conflict in a relationship, just ignore it. That's called dysfunction. You don't ignore situations. Because actually ignoring it never works. It becomes a root of bitterness in your heart eventually. But God gives us instruction on what to do when there's conflict. In verse 15, it says this, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone. Conformed or transformed? Because it is easy to go and tell everybody else. And it certainly is easy to blast it on social media because we're speaking truth. Well, maybe. Is it bringing unity? Is it bringing healing? Is it bringing wholeness? Then why being part of those conversations? But I love, again, that God doesn't say just ignore the hard stuff in relationships. Just deal with it, internalize it, keep it in there. No, no, no. He says, listen, if somebody's doing something wrong against you, you go to that person alone. You and that person alone. Alone. Not talk to 20 other people and then finally talk to them. Or listen, or many people never approach the person that they've been wronged by. Instead, they'll go out and complain. How many marriages would be intact? How many friendships would be intact? How many churches would be intact if just the Matthew 18 principle was used? If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Isn't that beautiful? If he listens to you, your relationship can be restored. How awesome is that? But if he doesn't listen to you, ooh, this gets better. Like there's more instruction. But if he doesn't listen to you, take one or two others along with you, that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. And you come with Ephesians 4 mindset. You don't come with malice and bitterness and anger and clamor and beat them up. You come speaking the truth in love with kindness and grace. You know, I've learned this as human beings. We judge ourselves by our intentions, but we judge others by their actions. You come believing the best. And you speak the truth, but you do it with kindness and in love. And the two that you bring or the three that you bring with you, they have the same mindset. It's not gang up on somebody. That's awful. If he doesn't listen to you, take one or two others. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. So now the Rock Anaheim social media. We tried talking to them. They didn't listen. So everybody, Joe Smith, da-da-da-da-da. No, that's not what the Bible's saying. You know, the church, we think of a building like this, and we think of what, so every person that's not listening, you bring them up here, and you say, look at them. No. The church was the assembly. It was their community. The community of back then, this was before Jesus had died, so it was the community of the Jewish people. And those communities were smaller communities. It wasn't blasting it from a mic. It was bringing them to the community the Jewish community and saying, we have tried to reason with this brother or this sister, but it's not working. And what does it say? If the person refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Now, to you is like, what does that mean? A Gentile or a tax collector, let them no longer be a part of your community. They're to you. You don't need to continue to go in that relationship. The Bible teaches us that. You start, you and that person alone. They don't listen, you bring one or two other people. They don't listen, you bring it to the larger community. They don't listen, then you say, I have done everything I can to reconcile this relationship, but it's not working. So I step away. And then we don't badmouth them. We just step away. So God doesn't say, hey, stay in a relationship that is wrong, that is bad. And now, I'm not talking about marriage. And now you're like, ooh, I was looking for an excuse because he did something bad. And so now I'm out. No, no. Don't read what I'm saying into your particular situation, especially when it comes to marriage. Thank God there's grace in marriage. Right? We help each other. But this is not talking about a husband and wife. This is talking about a brother or sister. I've had to do this before. I've tried the one where I didn't bring the other one or two people because I didn't want to go any further. I didn't want to embarrass them. But there's a biblical principle on how we do this. And it's powerful. How many relationships would be restored if we did this process? Because it's not just about you feeling better and receiving somebody asking you for forgiveness. It's for their sake as well. Because if somebody's doing something wrong against you, it's not good for them to remain in that. Because if they're doing it to you, they're probably doing it to others. Does that make sense? But the kingdom of God addresses these issues. The kingdom of God, the word of God, teaches you how to live in marriage the way God sees it. Oh, it's hard. It takes humility. It takes love. But it is harder not to do it the way of the kingdom and be in a marriage. You think marriage is hard? It is. It is challenging. But when you apply the word of God, it begins to transform you from the inside out. Don't look for behavior modification in your family. Don't do it with your kids. Help them to meditate the word. Help them to get the word into their hearts, to speak it out. But you do it. You do it, and you know what? And you do it until that change, and you know when you change. You know when from the inside out you have changed, and you see things correctly. God is calling us, don't be conformed, especially in days where so much of the body of Christ is conforming to the ways of the world. He's saying, don't do that, because it will allow the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy parts of your life. He's saying, come on, let my word be what goes into your ears. Let my word be what comes out of your mouth until you see that transformation. So perhaps you need transformation in marriage. Perhaps you need transformation in health. You need something from the inside out to change. Go back and find out the scriptures. Maybe there are two scriptures. I've learned I don't need like 10 of them. Sometimes it's just one or just two that I'm meditating on, that I'm pondering about until I see it, and I'm changed from the inside out, and then that relationship, that situation begins to align to the way God said it, and guess what? Then you prosper in that way, and God says you're blessed because you meditated in my word until you saw it, and you were able to do it. Oh, God is inviting us to a season of great transformation, and that I shouldn't say a season because it never changes, but I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes right now. There are areas in your life where you may realize I've been conformed. I think more like the world. I speak more like the world. I react more like the world than the ways of God. Don't be under condemnation over it. But that's where we say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. If you recognize there's pride, where there's pride, there's contention. Lord, I see that pride. That's the way of the world. The way of the kingdom is humility. The way of the world is me, 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 me. The way of the kingdom is, but how do I serve you? The way of the world is be rude, demand. The way of the kingdom is lay your life down. The way of the world is you don't you dare forgive what they did to you. The way of the kingdom is forgive as I forgave you. Lord, wherever we're conforming in way of thought, motives, words, continue to teach us by your Holy Spirit, because we do not want to conform. We do not want to pattern ourselves after Hollywood songs, what seems to be cool, trending, things that amount to nothing. Jesus, you said you came to give us life and life more abundantly. And you've shown us the key. Our mind has been the issue, but you taught us, but let my word wash your mind from wrong thinking. And meditate, ponder, speak my word until you become like the word. You become like him. And then what we do prospers. It works because we're planted by the rivers of water, that regardless of the circumstances around us, we flourish. Lord, without you, we couldn't do this. If we were depending on ourselves, we would be at a loss. But I thank you that your word is living and it's powerful. Even to take 32 years of feeling like a failure, not good enough. Meditating on your precious word brought freedom to me. Meditating on your word brings freedom. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, both here on campus and online, that they would learn the beauty and the power of pondering on your precious word. Day and night, allowing your word to show us how to live, how to raise our children, how to do business, how to lead, how to serve, how to speak to people who are not like us, how to treat those who are in the what we could call the worst condition of sin. How to let your love pierce through darkness and not bitterness and anger and frustration. Lord, may the world, those who don't follow you, may they know that we're your disciples by our evident love towards all people. Thank you that we don't conform to the people who don't follow you. But the more we become like you, we love them. And we stand in the gap for them to experience the love and freedom of Jesus. I pray for this church, this congregation, Lord, that you would help us as brothers and sisters deal properly with conflict. That we would be forgiving and tenderhearted towards one another. That we would be able to work through challenges, not ignore them, but work through them because there's so much at stake. Would you tenderize our hearts? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us answers. Thank you for giving us answers. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen. This is our lifestyle. We let the word come in. We let the word come out of our mouths. And we begin to see the transformation from the inside out. Isn't God good that he teaches us how to live life? Isn't he wonderful? Where would I be? Where would you be without his word teaching us how to live this kind of a life? Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Jerry Dearman Podcast. And thank you to those of you who have partnered with Solid Lives to help get this message and others like it to thousands of people around the world. If you would like to partner with Solid Lives and the ministry of Jerry Dearman, visit solidlives.com/give. To find out more about the ministry of Solid Lives, how you can be a part of this church planting and disciple making movement, or for more great teachings and resources by Jerry, visit solidlives.com. We also want to invite you to join us on our daily podcast or on YouTube for the New Testament Daily with Jerry Dearman. Each day, Jerry reads through a chapter of the New Testament and gives us key insights and applications for our lives. What a great way to start your day as you journey with us through the New Testament as you never have before. Thank you again so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.